Hey, this is Rick, and this is Blind Geek Zone podcast number 3 for March 14th, 2007. Hey, how's everybody doing? Sorry, it's been a little while since my last podcast, but I've been busy with work and getting other things done. But I did want to take some time today to do another podcast. I had a few things I wanted to talk about. First, as you know, the latest release of Jaws 8.0 is out. It's 8.0.1163. It's available also as a beta for Vista. So Vista now has some support. I don't know anything about that yet still. I haven't done anything with Vista. I still don't have Vista here on my system, but hopefully at some point I'm going to be able to do that. But I have installed the latest version on my computer using XP. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I've noticed some quirks on my end and kind of curious if others are having the same kind of quirks as I am. First, I noticed that the virtual buffer problem still exists. It is a lot better, but I have noticed that the problem does still exist with the latest version, 1.1.63. So hopefully, as more updates come out, you know, that's going to be fixed. I really hope so, because that's really a nuisance, and I think it nags a lot of people. But I've still noticed the problem in IE7 and on Outlook Express. Other problems I have noticed with this new release, especially in Outlook Express, is when I'm tabbing around or listening to messages, a lot of times I'll hear beeps for just no reason. It'll just, you know, beep at me. And it hasn't done that in prior versions. That just started with 1.1.63. Another thing I have happen in Outlook Express is when I open a mail and start arrowing down through it, sometimes Jaws will stop speaking and I'll have to close the message and reopen it to get that to work. I'm not sure what that is being caused by, but that appears to just started here in the latest release as well. I noticed something when I was testing the free screen reader Thunder. I had to set my Outlook Express settings to text only, since Thunder doesn't work with HTML messages in any way. And I've noticed over the last couple of days that with Jaws, when you're using plain text in Outlook Express, for whatever reason, Outlook Express seems to be losing focus. I'll read through several messages, and instead of being in my list view still, I'll find that Jaws has placed me in my address list view instead of the message list view. And I've also noticed the beeping. The beeping's even worse on text mode for whatever reason. And that's very, very annoying. So I don't really know what's going on there. Other issues that I've had from time to time with the latest build of Jaws are if I'm working in Notepad or Arachnophilia 4.0, I've had some problems where I would be editing text and all of a sudden, you know, I'd cut something or paste something or switch in or out of the window for a moment, or I'd even just save the file, and I would notice that either my cursor wouldn't be where it was supposed to be in the document anymore, it could be several lines above, or certain lines of text would not appear, they would be they wouldn't display, they wouldn't speak. And at times, you know, I thought I was missing some text, or I had, you know, cut the incorrect text out. So I don't know what's going on there, but that's kind of been a nagging issue. It doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened from time to time. And again, I've just noticed that in 8.0.1163. And I need to report these to FS Tech Support as well, see what they have to say. Another thing I've noticed in IE is when I'm doing things, when I'm reading, and I stop and I start erroring around, I've noticed the cursor isn't in sync with JAWS. It'll be several lines back. So still, you know, the cursor positioning and JAWS aren't jiving. And that's kind of really annoying, too, at times. And, you know, hopefully they'll get a grip on that. But, you know, some things are getting better, and I know they're going to have problems as they progress, but, you know, hopefully the next fix will fix a lot of problems that people are reporting. Okay, I wanted to talk about GoldWave for just a couple of minutes. I've been learning a few new things about it on the newer versions, 5.15 and later. There's been a few nice little features I've noticed that are being added. One of them is when you're processing or saving things in GoldWave and the dialog box is up with the time remaining, there's now a combo box in there that lets you adjust the priority of how GoldWave's working on a on that process or saving. And this can come in real handy on slower computers where GoldWave could tend to be really bogging them down during these processes. It defaults to the highest priority, but you can turn that down. If you turn that down a notch or two, you can certainly make slower machines run better when they're doing certain processing tasks. Another thing I've noticed, and I'm just starting to get into this a bit, so I don't have a whole lot of information, but some of the keys, there are some new marker movement keys that will allow you to move the start and finish markers with a key press out to the start or the beginning, you know, move the finish marker to the start, move the start marker to the finish. I don't remember those off the top of my head, but hopefully on the next GoldWave podcast I do, I will have those. A couple other keys I've noticed in the newest versions are the J, K, and L keys. What those do is they function the same way the F4, F5, and F6 keys function. They're laid out a little differently. J is backwards. K is play, and L is forward. So that can kind of come in handy when you're using, you know, you're trying to hit your markers and you're also trying to move around playing, you know, backwards or forwards. You can have your key, your fingers closer together, and it's a little easier to work with. Hopefully here real soon I will have some more keys learned. I want to send an email to Chris at GoldWave and see if I can get a whole list of key changes so I can get more comfortable with that and let you guys all know about those. Another nice feature that has been added into the newer versions, and I haven't messed with this a lot either, but I do have some instructions on it that I've been given. You apparently can get peak levels while you're recording by holding down the control key while you're recording and positioning your JAWS cursor at a certain point on the screen. You can get percentages from 0 to 100 for your volume levels, you know, 100% being 0 dB. So it's possible that can be real helpful. I haven't really gotten a good grasp on how to use that yet, but hopefully in my next Gold Wave podcast I'm going to be able to cover all of this, and you know, you guys can experiment around with that and maybe you can learn some things and you can tell me some things. But you know, Gold Wave continues to improve. The makers of Gold Wave are working, you know, with the visually impaired community, and they seem to be very willing to help us out, and that's really nice because you don't get a lot of people that are willing to help us out with programs. And that's one reason just by itself that I would recommend people go with Gold Wave maybe over some other programs, is because, you know, Gold Wave, you know, the makers of Gold Wave are definitely working with us and you know, want to help us out. So it would be good, you know, for us to support them. And let's see, what else? Contributors. I've had a couple of donations to the website here in the last 2 weeks, and I wanted to say thank you very much. I appreciate the donations very, very much. I had a $35 donation here just after the beginning of the month by an individual, and I hope you got my email. I thanked you, and I'm very appreciative for that donation. I didn't hear anything back from you. You must want to be anonymous, so I can respect that. But again, thank you very, very much. I appreciate any and all donations of any amounts. You know, they help me to pay the monthly bills for the website. It costs $8 a month to run the website. And as I said, I'm hoping to get Vista, and I'm hoping to get some donations to help me out there so I can get Vista quicker. And don't want to harp too much on donations because I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, a beggar. But thank you, and hopefully anybody else that would like to donate to the cause is more than welcome to do so, and any amount is appreciated. You know, even if it's $1, $2, whatever, anything is appreciated greatly and will help me to continue to keep the website going and to produce more great tutorials. Okay, I think that's about it. Well, I hope everybody listened to Main Menu last night and listened to Larry Skutkan talk about the new book port. You know, a lot of you have book port ones, the original book ports, and the new book port 2 is going to be out here in the summer, hopefully. Sounds like it has a lot of possibilities. At first, it's not going to be a whole lot different than the original book port 1. It's a slimmer model. It's about half the thickness of the original book port. Vertical and horizontal measurements are the same. I believe the keys are the same. Some differences are that it will have a mic jack to hook a microphone into. Hopefully it will be able to record in stereo, and there are going to be ways to adjust sample rates and stuff to get better recordings. So that's going to be nice. The original book port's pretty noisy, pretty low quality on its recordings. So that'll be great. Another nice thing is it'll support USB 2. It won't drain the battery anymore when it's hooked to USB. Actually, it will charge the batteries. The BookPort will have rechargeable batteries in it. Unfortunately, it will be a special pack, so you're not just going to be able to go out and buy batteries anywhere. But I guess they had to do that because of the thinness of the model. Larry was saying there may be a possibility of maybe having some kind of an external battery pack for it to put regular batteries in. Some other interesting things is it should have internal memory, so you won't have to have a card all the time with it. They weren't sure yet, either 256 or 512, hopefully 512 meg of memory in it. It won't be using compact flash cards anymore, CF1 cards. It will be using secure digital cards. And those are really the standard these days. The compact flash cards are, going out of favor. And in the future, kind of are going to disappear. The new BookPort in the future, as it progresses, will be able to do NLS. Digital books that are going to come out, I guess, next year. It will be able to play those. It will be able to play at some point protected WMA content. That'll be very, very nice. And it sounds like that there are a lot of plans for the new book port, and it will, as it matures, will become a better and better product. And I think that's going to be great. I really love the book port. I don't know how quick I will be to adopt the new book port to here, since my book port one is working great for what I wanted to do. But hopefully at some point I'll go to that. Price is not known yet. They're not sure if they could keep it at the $395 range, but it sounds like Larry is definitely fighting to keep it as inexpensive as possible and to not be too much higher than the original book port. So that was great. That was a an interesting. I liked hearing about the Icon and the Icon Braille Plus. Those were interesting. Very expensive products, $1,400, but sounded like they were definitely wonderful products, and I sure would like to have one if I could ever afford one. Okay, that's about it. That wraps up this podcast. Hope everybody's enjoyed it, and I'll talk to you next time. This is my contact information. If you would like to contact me for whatever reason, for a PC question or a comment on an audio recording or podcast that I've done, you can contact me at the following places. My website is www.blind-geek-zone.net. My Skype ID is rharmon928. My MSN is rharmon928 at hotmail.com, and that's RHARMON 928. My email address is rharmon, RHARMON, at blind-geek-zone.net. Please feel free to contact me with any comments or questions you may have, either about my website, my audio recordings, or anything else you might want to comment on.